Well, good morning. It is so good to see everyone. My earnest prayer to God is that so much of what we have been dealing with over the last year would come to a conclusion in such a way that we can all be together again on the Lord's Day, assembled as one in Christ. And I rejoice that so many are here this morning, and we all continue to long to be together as we center our hearts around the theme of drawing near to God with a sincere heart. As we continue to pursue an intimate relationship with God, we will think this morning for a few minutes about the person of Jesus. I'm going to use a lot of scriptures this morning. They're all on the slides. I will share the slides with you later. I would not encourage you to attempt to turn to the scriptures, but rather to read them off of the slides. And I would encourage you, as we think about this lesson together this morning, that you would take the time, you would take the personal time to put all of this together, for yourself, for your personal understanding of Jesus. Because I believe that as we understand him, as we understand Jesus, that understanding him will help us to understand God himself. Understanding Jesus will help us to understand ourselves. And understanding Jesus will help us to understand others. Jesus was once asked, what is the greatest commandment? And he began with God. And the second is likened to it, how we view others, how we view God and how we view other people. Understanding Jesus will help us to understand God, help us to understand ourselves and help us to understand others. So as we think about the person of Jesus, from the outset, I want us to consider that Jesus was just like you and me in the sense that he was born of a woman. In Galatians 4, verse 4, in the fullness of times, Jesus was born of a woman. Like Jesus, I have a mother, and like Jesus, you have a mother. One of the things that Jesus and I share in common is that both of our mothers are named Mary. Jesus's mother was named Mary, of whom was born Jesus. And there was no doubt about who Jesus's mother was. And he was referred to in his lifetime as the son of Mary. Jesus, like you and me, experienced a natural birth. Jesus's mother Mary, when her days were completed, when the days were completed for her to be delivered, she brought forth her firstborn son that she named Jesus. Jesus, like you and me, experienced a natural birth in which he came into this world on a day. Born to you this day. He entered the world the same way that you and I entered the world, through a woman, through natural birth. He was a babe that was wrapped in swaddling cloths, and they laid him in a manger. Jesus was born of a woman. He experienced a natural birth in a real place, in time, on the same earth in which you and I inhabit. I was born in Winfield, Alabama, to a woman named Mary on a day. Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea to a woman named Mary on a day. He was born of a woman. He experienced a natural birth. He shared in our likeness. And sharing in our likeness means that Jesus had flesh. Jesus had bones. Jesus had a soul. Jesus had a spirit. Jesus, within his natural body, had blood. Jesus had a heart. Jesus was created in, as you and I are created in, the image of God. Hebrews 2:14 says, inasmuch as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself, Jesus, likewise shared in the same. Jesus was made a little lower than the angels. He was created in the natural sense, he was born into the world in the natural sense as a human being, not as an angel. Jesus was not an angel. He is not an angel. He will never be an angel. Jesus himself spoke of his flesh and bones. Jesus himself spoke of his soul. Jesus himself spoke of his spirit. Jesus himself spoke of his blood. Jesus himself spoke of his heart. Again, the word heart from the beginning, perhaps almost exclusively, without maybe one to two exceptions, always referring to that aspect that we share with God himself. Having a heart. Jesus would say, I am gentle and lowly in heart. Jesus, like you and me, lived a spiritual life in the flesh. In Matthew, the fourth chapter, Jesus in the flesh is hungry because he hasn't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. And he is being tempted by the devil in the flesh to satisfy his flesh through a wicked, sinful, unlawful means. And in the flesh, Jesus lived in the spirit. And in contending with the devil, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And when Jesus said that, he was physically hungry. His natural man was hungry. To the event of the woman at the well in John, the fourth chapter, and in verse 34, Jesus at Jacob's well is hungry. He's thirsty. The disciples have gone to get nourishment for him. He engages this Samaritan woman, and when they come back, the disciples are surprised that Jesus is as lively as he is, as tired as they all are, and as hungry as they all are, and as they are all in need of nourishment. And Jesus' response to them, my food, yes, I'm hungry, and yes, I'm thirsty, but my food, as I'm living this natural life in the flesh, I'm living spiritually, and my food is to do the will of him who sent me. Jesus in the flesh got sleepy, and there are times in which we read that Jesus slept. Jesus became weary, and he needed to rest. But as he lived his life in the flesh, there are times in which he fasted from sleep. In Luke, the sixth chapter, and in verse 12, as he lived in the flesh, he lived a spiritual life by continuing all night in prayer to God. And so Jesus, as we consider his person, he was born of a woman. He experienced a natural birth. He shared in our likeness. He lived the type of life in the flesh that he calls us to live. He lived a spiritual life in the flesh. And as we look at his person, he died a natural death. Mark 15, verse 37, he breathed his last. Matthew 27, 50, he yielded up his spirit. Death, by definition, is the separation of one's spirit from one's body. To the Father, he said from the cross in Luke 23, verse 46, before he died, into your hands I commit my spirit. In Ecclesiastes 12, we read that when we die, our spirit returns to the God who gave it. As Jesus was dying, he said to the Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. They were going to do some things to Jesus as he hung on the cross to facilitate his death. But in John 19, verse 34, they saw that he was already dead. Joseph of Arimathea asked for the body of Jesus because he understood that Jesus died. Pilate marveled that he was already dead, but Pilate believed the report that Jesus died. His spirit departed from his body. So as we think about the person of Jesus, there is just a whole lot that we share in common with him. He helps us to understand ourselves. But he also helps us to understand God, because although he was born of a woman, his mother was a virgin. In Genesis 3:15, the first week of our 2021 together, as we began thinking about drawing near to God with a sincere heart, and we began in the beginning, we have the first promise of Jesus in Genesis 3:15. And when you look at that verse again and you consider the big picture, you consider the rest of the story, Genesis 3:15 does not communicate that the one that shall be a blessing would be of the seed of Adam and Eve. Her seed, not their seed, her seed, the seed of woman. Who is this Jesus? Yes, he was born of a woman. Yes, he experienced a natural birth. Yes, he was born on a day in a place. But this Jesus is the fulfillment of the promise of Isaiah 7:14, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Luke tells us in Luke 1:27 that the virgin's name, the virgin of Genesis 3:15, the virgin of Isaiah 7:14, the virgin's name, Luke 1:27, was Mary. When the angel appeared to Joseph to explain to him what was happening and what was about to happen in Matthew 1 verse 18, before Joseph and Mary came together, she was found with child. Matthew 1:25, Joseph did not know her. Joseph did not know his wife, Mary. Mary did not know her husband, Joseph, till she had brought forth her firstborn son. Jesus was born of a woman. He was born of a woman, but his mother was a virgin. He experienced a natural birth through a woman, but his natural birth was one and at the same time a supernatural birth. The angel Gabriel comes to Mary in Luke chapter 1 and explains to her that she is going to have a son. And Mary's response to the angel Gabriel is, how can this be? I understand from the beginning how this works. I understand that from the beginning, God created male and female, and that he joined together a husband and a wife, and the two become one flesh. And from this holy, blessed union, from this God ordained relationship, that we have been given the opportunity to be fruitful and to multiply. How can this be? Since I don't know a man, how can this be? Since Joseph and I do not know one another yet. And the angel Gabriel said to her in Luke 1 verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. The angel said to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1 verse 20, don't be upset with Mary to the point that you privately put her away. Because that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Jesus experienced a supernatural birth. And as he entered the world through natural means, as he experienced this supernatural birth, he shared in our likeness. He had flesh and he had bones and he had a soul and he had a spirit and he had blood and he had a heart and he was created in the image of God. But his spirit was and is eternal. Who is this Jesus? John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus would help us to understand God in John 4, verse 24, again, as he's engaged with the Samaritan woman and as he's discussing these things with his apostles in John 4, verse 24, God is spirit. Who is Jesus? Jesus is God. Jesus is spirit. God is spirit. Therefore, Hebrews 10, verse 5, when he came, when the seed of woman came, when the son of the virgin came, when he who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, when he came into the world, he came in a body that had been prepared for him by the Holy Spirit of God. He shared in our likeness. He had flesh and he had bones and he had soul and he had spirit and he had blood and he had heart. He was created in the image of God, but his spirit was and is eternal. 1 Timothy 3:16, who is this Jesus? He is the God. He is the spirit who was manifested, who was made known, who was shown in the flesh. At the conclusion of the first century, there were some folks who were still wrestling with the person of Jesus. And it was to those folks that the Spirit guided the Apostle John to write concerning the Word of Life. Concerning the Word of John 1:1. Concerning the Word of John 1:14. Concerning the eternal Word. The life was manifested. It was made known. It was shown. It was declared. And we have seen and we have bear witness and we declare to you that underscore eternal, that underscore eternal life. We declare to you the one that we saw and we bear witness to you that the one that we saw was the Word of Life, the eternal life. That in eternity, John 1:1 was with the Father and in time was manifested to us. Amen. Who is this Jesus? Well, he is like us in the sense that he shared in our likeness. He was born of a woman. He was born on a day. He was born in a place. He was born in time. He had flesh. He had bones. He had a soul, he had a spirit, he had blood, he had a heart, but his spirit was and is eternal. Who is this Jesus? He is Emmanuel. He is the Emmanuel of Isaiah 7:14, which is translated God. God is spirit, a body you have prepared for me. Who is this Jesus? He is God in the flesh. Isaiah 7:14 spoke of the virgin who would give birth to a son and we would call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah would further say in chapter 9 verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name will be called Wonderful and Counselor and Mighty God, and underscore in Isaiah 9 verse 6, Everlasting. No beginning, no end. Everlasting. Micah 5:2, the prophet Micah would say that this Emmanuel, this God with us, this God in the flesh, this child who would be called Everlasting, that he would be born in Bethlehem. And like there are many Winfields in the United States of America, there were multiple Bethlehems in the first century. The prophet Micah was specific about which Bethlehem he would be born in. He wasn't going to be born in Winfield, Kansas. He could be born in Winfield, Alabama, right? This Jesus wasn't just going to be born in any old Bethlehem. We're not throwing darts, you know, hundreds of years removed from his birth, hoping that one of them sticks. God, who is eternal, who sees the the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end says, in the fullness of the course of time, I am going to send forth my son, and he is going to be born of a woman, and he is going to be born of a virgin woman, and he is going to be born specifically in Bethlehem of Judah. And out of Bethlehem of Judah shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, and the one who will be born in Bethlehem of Judea, who will come forth to me to be the ruler in Israel. This one is the one whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Make no mistake about it. Jesus shared in our likeness, but my spirit had a beginning. His did not. His was and is eternal. When God was in the flesh in the person of Jesus, he lived a spiritual life. I believe there are many reasons to respect Jesus, to love Jesus, to long to know more about Jesus. But at the top of my list is James 1:13. In James 1:13, we learn about God. We learn about the God who is spirit, John 4:24, that God cannot be tempted by evil. But God in the flesh sure can. And God in the flesh sure was. When the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, at the outset of his public ministry, he was led up by the Holy Spirit of God. He was led up by the same Spirit who played a mysterious role in his supernatural birth. To be tempted by the devil, and tempted he was. Hebrews 2:18 tells us that he himself suffered being tempted. We read this week about Joseph, and Joseph was not just tempted by Pharaoh's wife once. The Spirit tells us that that went on day by day. Day by day, Joseph suffered that temptation. God in the flesh suffered being tempted. Jesus is worthy of our attention. Jesus is worthy of our respect. Jesus is worthy of our love. Because he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He died a natural death, but he died a natural death for a spiritual purpose. His spirit separated from his body, and he died a horrible, excruciating, painful, shameful death that I don't necessarily want to die myself, but it is appointed unto each of us once to die, and after that, the judgment, and we don't get to pick. And so I'm going to die, and you're going to die. And Jesus died. But just as his birth was unique, so was his death. And that's why Jesus matters. Because of who he was before he was born. Because of how he entered into the world. Because of how he lived. And because why he died. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels because he didn't become an angel. He became a male. He became an image bearer of God. He became a human being, not an angelic being. He does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. We began reading about the seed of Abraham in Genesis, the 12th chapter, and as we continue to read through the book of Genesis into the New Testament, into the book of Revelation, what we learn is that they are not all of Abraham who are of Abraham. There are those who belong to the seed of Abraham by faith, not through natural birth. The promise to Abraham was that he was going to be a blessing to all families. And we can be of Abraham if we believe. We can receive the promise of the blessing through Abraham, through his seed, as we are adopted into his family. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Who is this Jesus? He is the one who died a natural death for a spiritual purpose. 1 John 3:5, you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him there is no sin. He entered the world in a unique way for a unique purpose. And as he lived, there was something that was really special about how he lived. There was no sin in his thinking and no sin in his speech. And there was no sin in his behavior. His conscience was. And forevermore shall be clear. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. And we read about that in the first three chapters of Genesis. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Who is this Jesus? He is the seed of woman who bruised his own heel on the cross as he crushed the head of the serpent, fulfilling the prophecy of Genesis 3, verse 15. Jesus died a natural death for a spiritual purpose. Consider 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust. And here is why he did that. Here's why this just man suffered for sins for unjust people like you and me, that he might bring us to God. Jesus was put to death in the flesh. You and I will die in the flesh. He died in the flesh, but he died in the flesh for a spiritual purpose. And as he fully achieved the eternal purpose of God through his death, on the third day, he was made alive by the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He died a natural death for a spiritual purpose. In 1 Corinthians 15:49, and as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. I believe this morning in full assurance of faith that understanding the person of Jesus will help us to understand God. Who is this Jesus? If Jesus is God, then God is. Jesus is God, therefore God is. There is a God, and Jesus reveals him to us in the flesh in a way that we can understand. We can look at Jesus and we can see ourselves. And the more we look at Jesus, the more understanding that we gain of ourselves. But as we look at Jesus, we don't only understand what it looks like to live a life that brings glory to God. When we look at Jesus, we see God himself. And I believe that that process happens for us over time the same way that it did for them. They had to grow in their understanding of Jesus, because when they looked at Jesus, they saw somebody just like me. They saw a man. And he looked like a man, and he acted like a man. He talked like a man. And he ate like a man, and he drank like a man, and he got tired like a man. And it was very easy to look at him and to think, oh, this is the son of Mary. But the more they looked at him, the more they beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten. They saw in his heart attributes and characteristics and ways of thinking and speaking and living that were divine. And I'm not just talking about the signs and the wonders and the miracles. The point of those, Hebrews 2, 1 through 4, was just to confirm the word, the words that he spoke. They saw that he was glorious in love and glorious in grace and glorious in mercy and glorious in compassion. When we understand Jesus, we will understand God. We will understand ourselves, how we are to live, what glorifying God in time looks like in the flesh. But we will also understand something about our importance to God. Because Jesus died for me. He personally died for me. He personally died for you. And that's why obedience to the gospel is such a personal choice that each and every one of us must make individually to see Jesus and to understand who he is and what he did communicates to us personally how important we are to God. But the third thing understanding Jesus does for us is it helps us understand how important other people are too. From the beginning, we learned that God has created everyone, male and female, in his image. Everyone who has come after Adam and Eve have come in the likeness of God. You and I will never encounter another human being who was not created in God's image. Jesus gives us a second reason to treat other people with dignity and to treat other people with respect and to treat other people with love. 1 Timothy 2:6, Jesus gave himself a ransom for all. Isaiah spoke of the virgin birth and Emmanuel, and he spoke of the everlasting who would come as a child. But he also spoke of this one in Isaiah 53, verse 6, is having the iniquity of us all laid on him. Jesus, 1 John 2:2, is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the whole world. You will never encounter another human being that Jesus did not die to redeem. God help us to understand God, to understand ourselves, to understand others, and to God be the glory for giving us the opportunity to draw near to him with a sincere heart through Jesus. Amen. And to God be the glory, and to Jesus be the glory for sending his Spirit to help us as we make our journey from earth to heaven. Enlightening us, helping us, comforting us, conforming us to the image of Jesus day by day from the inside out. This morning, as we consider the person of Jesus, we turn our attention now to the Lord's Supper, in which, according to Jesus, we eat his flesh and we drink his blood, and we do those things because he came in the flesh. He had flesh and he had blood. And among other reasons that Jesus is unique, he is the only one that we have been called to eat. He is the only one that we have been called to consume. We are to eat of his flesh and to drink of his blood. We are to imbibe and consume him. That is the message of Jesus in John 6. And because of that message, there were many who turned and walked with him no more because they thought that was a hard saying. I too think that that's a hard saying. But like the Apostle Peter, I also believe no one else has the words this man has. He has the words of eternal life. So what has Jesus called us to do upon the first day of the week? He's called us to assemble together with those of like precious faith and to consider his body and to consider his blood and to eat of his body and to drink of his blood and to remember who he is and who we are because of him. That's what we do when we gather around the Lord's table. We commune with him and we commune with one another to the glory of God. Amen. And we do this till he comes because in full assurance of faith, we believe that he is coming again. Amen. And when he comes, he's going to gather those together who have believed in him. And he's going to take us home. And we're going to gather around the throne of our God and our Father with all the redeemed of all the ages. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Song number 200, He Loves Me.